Would you take your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6, the book of Matthew chapter 6. Amen. And I was just sitting up here thinking when those men were singing, I think it'd be good if we could do this. I don't know, but Brother Gary, this you need a little bit more on your plate, I'm sure, to do. I think it'd be great to get some of our choirs and our specials and stuff on a CD and try to get it out. How many of you agree with that? Would you say amen? Amen. Will that ever happen? I have no idea. But I'd like to see it happen. That would be good. Have a great music ministry here. Don't ever take it for granted. I'm glad we are going that direction, you know. Traditional music. Praise God. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin our reading in verse number 25. We're in the middle of the series, Smashing Satan's Strongholds. And I bring out a stronghold this morning that nobody needs. It's the stronghold of worry. I'm sure you don't need it, so just tune me out here. Amen. We all need this, right? Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Basically, what he's saying is don't worry. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, if you worry, you're not going to change anything anyway. That's what he's saying. Why take ye thought for raiment, and consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, that means don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought, don't worry, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now I'm dealing this morning with the stronghold of worry. Now let's pray together. And we'll proceed. Our Father, forgive our sins. Help us to be clean before you. May the will of God be done in this service. Thank you for passing by my heart this morning in Sunday school. And I pray for this service that you'll use it in a great way. May this be a message, God, that changes somebody's life. Give somebody victory over the stronghold of worry. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no doubt that one of the most common struggles in a person's life is the struggle of worry. Webster defines worry as to make troubled or uneasy or to be anxious. Now, it's been said that most worry sometime, some worry a lot of time, and a small elite worry all the time. Now, I wonder, where do you fall in this statement? You know, people have a tendency to worry about many things. They worry about life in general. They worry about money, and they worry about materials, and they worry about health, and worry about safety, and family, and future, and on we could go. For instance, there was a lady who worried 40 years that she was going to die of cancer, and at age 70, she died of pneumonia. Maybe you've heard the story about the man who worried all the time that he's going to be paralyzed. I mean, he just worried all the time that he was going to get paralyzed. One day he took his wife out to eat dinner somewhere, and his wife just kind of noticed him talking to himself, so she began to listen closely. And he was saying something like this: I knew it would happen. I can't feel that. I knew this day was coming. I knew I was going to get paralyzed. I can't feel a thing. His wife poked him on the shoulder and said, honey, I just think you ought to know that's my leg you're pinching. Now, how am I supposed to preach after I get you to life like that, right? What am I saying? I'm saying this. A lot of times, I got myself tickled there, folks. I'm sorry. Many times, people worry about things that never happen. A Swedish proverb says this, worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Mark Twain said this, I'm an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. Now notice closely verse number 32, which says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now in this statement, we see that human beings even go so far as to worry about things that God has promised to provide them. Therefore, now get this, folks, it is essential that you understand that worry, now we're all guilty of it, starting right here, to some extent. But it's important that we see that worry is simply a lack of faith in God. Worry is when, now get this, these are powerful statements. Worry is when we try to take the responsibilities that are God's out of His hands and put them in our own. It's not relying on the Lord and on His promises. Worry is when we betray our God's existence. Worry is when we live as if God is not real and His promises are of none effect. Worry is sin. Now, we know this because we've been commanded in our text and in other portions of Scripture, but specifically verse 29, verse 31, verse 34, He says, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. He's saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. That is not a suggestion, that's a direct command. And when God commands something, anything that breaks His command is a sin. Now, with all this being said, most, if not all, still waste time worrying even though we know it's wrong and against the Lord. Therefore today, I want to show you from the Word of God that there is victory. Amen. Against this stronghold of worry. Now going back to last week, if you're going to get victory over a stronghold, you got to work for it. It's not going to come by you just sitting back and waiting on it to happen. You've got to put some things in your life. Now I'm going to be giving you an outline to remember. As you face worry in your mind. Now last week, if you were not here, I strongly encourage you to go back and get last week's messages Sunday morning, Sunday night, because it was foundational to everything I'm preaching. It's the battle for the mind and how to live in victory over your mind. You know what worry is? It's a sin of the mind, folks. It's right here. So go back and get that. So keep in mind that everything I said last week applies. Then I'm going to give you something on top of that to help you with this particular stronghold that's in your mind. I want to give you three things to do when you struggle with worry. Two of them are found in this text, and one of them is found in the book of Philippians. Now, this three-point outline will help you if you work it, if you will. Number one, when you worry. Number one, here it is, perceive. Now, the word perceive here means to consider. It means to bring to mind some things. It means to focus on something. Now notice what the Word of God says in verse 25 and following. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Look at verse number 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Notice this word. Consider the lilies of the field. Now, in our text, we see several things that the Lord wants us to consider about worry and to consider when we worry. Now, in these things, we should note carefully the thoughts that are being presented in order to help us see what a waste of time it is and a sin it is to worry. There's two specific things given here that we are to perceive. Now what I mean by that is whenever you feel these worrisome thoughts come to your mind and you're combating it with Scripture like I taught you last week, but on top of that, what you do as you're plowing through the Word of God and taking the Rhema of God, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to last week and get it. You take the Rhema of God and you start thinking, you start perceiving, you start considering some things. In other words, you don't let that thought stay there. You combat it by bringing another thought into your mind. And you replace that thought. And you begin to perceive some things. The first thing you're to perceive is you're to perceive the Father's care. Now this is found in verses 25 to 32. We can go ahead and put the first picture up here if we don't mind. In these verses, we see the tender care of the Heavenly Father that should help us not to worry about the necessities of life. Now look here, please. Don't be looking up there. I know that's a danger whenever you put something up. Class, look here, please. In verse number 25, it's mentioned how the life is more than meat. And it's mentioned how the body is more than raiment. Now in this, we see that it's being brought out how life is given by God. Amen or not? And he's saying this, since life is God's gift, it's God's responsibility to provide for it. And he's saying, whatever your body needs for survival, if you will, the necessities that you need, God will provide them. And if you worry, you're wasting your time. To illustrate this, just the Father's care, think about how much he cares for you. Perceive the care of God the Father. And he starts giving some illustrations. The first illustration he gives is found in verse number 26 where he says this. He said, behold, consider, perceive the fowls of the air. Now, you see this picture right here, this bird. Beautiful bird, isn't it? Beautiful. Gorgeous. Hand-painted by God himself. Beautiful. Now, stay with me here. Wait on me. Don't take it to the next one yet. Can't wait to get to this next one. Anyway, in this verse is given the illustration of the birds of the air. He said they don't sow and they don't reap. They don't gather in the barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them day by day. Now, that being the case, look at that bird. Now, let's flip to the next bird. Have you ever seen a bird like that? Now, the difference between the first bird and the second bird is the first bird, which was a real bird, is resting contently in his Father's care. This bird has some worry problems. This bird, if you notice, his eyes are bugged out. His hair is spiked. If you have spiked hair, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, so stay with me. His feathers are about to fall out. Now, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you got up and instead of hearing the birds sing, you looked out and they're there on a branch and their feathers are falling out and they're shaking like this, all this kind of stuff, because they're so worried that they're not going to have something to eat that day. You know what God's saying? He's saying, if I care enough about the birds to feed them, do you not think I care a little bit more about you? And if I take my time to feed the birds, do you not think I'm going to take my time to watch over you and care for you? You know, God knows how to get our attention, doesn't he? And he uses this illustration. Now let's go to the next illustration, because now some of you are going to be seeing that little guy in your dreams tonight, okay? But before we get to this flower here, it's interesting that when we wake up in the morning, the birds are already singing. Not a worry in the world. You can learn a lesson from the singing of birds. You say, I know what I wish. I wish I was a bird now, you know. No, learn the lesson of the bird. God is saying, I care enough about those little birds to feed them, and it is me that feeds them. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, if I'm big enough and even small enough, if you will, don't misunderstand that statement, to care for one little bird. He's saying, don't you think your life's a little bit more important than that? God didn't die for the birds, folks. Jesus Christ didn't die for the birds. He died for you. And he's going to take care of you. By the way, this is the word of God. This is how you get victory. You perceive the Father's care. Said the robin to the sparrow, I really do not know why it is these human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Spurgeon said this, God who gives you heaven will not deny your bread on the road either. Now think about that statement. It is ridiculous when I or anybody else, as a child of God, somebody will tell me, somebody tried to tell me on the phone this week, somebody called in and tried to tell me, you don't know you're saved. Tried to tell me that on the phone. I said, you want to bet? I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. You mean to tell me that Christians who know in their heart they're going to heaven and that's taken care of, that we waste our time worrying about other little things? Now, this is something that's convicting to us as we hear it, but yet it's to help us at the same time. When you worry, perceive. Perceive what? The Father's care. Perceive His care about what? The birds. He cares for the birds. Don't you think He's going to care for you? Secondly, He notices, He brings out the flowers of the field. He specifically mentions a lily. Is that not a beautiful flower? Look at that thing. I mean, somebody says there's no God. Somebody help me out there. You know what I'm saying? Only God could do something like that. And here's what He says in verses 28 and 29. Look at it. He says this. He says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. That's been said that that's man's work. Neither do they spin. That's been said that's a lady's work. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. Now, the second illustration he gives here is that of the lilies of the field. You're looking at one of them here. He mentions how these flowers, they don't toil, they don't spin, and yet they are clothed with more splendor than Solomon in all of his glory. Now, after he mentions this, he mentions how the grass of the field, that would include flowers in context and things like that. He says that the Lord decorates. The Lord takes His time to decorate the flowers of the field, the grass of the field. He's decorating all those kind of things. And he says he decorates them with beauty and splendor more than Solomon. And yet those things are here today and they're mowed up tomorrow. They're ripped up the next day. The lawnmower's taken over them the next day and they're plowed up the next day. Here's what he's saying. He's saying God has a whole lot of time on His hands. He's eternal. He has so much time that He's looking over everybody and He still has time to paint the grass. He still has time to make the flowers. He still has time to just put the mist on them. He still has time to color the flowers, color the roses, color the dillies. I mean, all these kind of things. He has time to spend on those things that He knows are here today and gone tomorrow. And He's saying, if I spend all that time to care for this little thing that is here for one day, what do you think I'm going to do for your life? Powerful. He's saying, look, perceive the flowers, perceive the birds. Look at how I care for these things. You are much better than these. Perceive. You know, George Mueller, it's been said, a mighty prayer warrior. He's with the Lord. But it's been said that George Mueller based his whole life on trusting God on these two great promises concerning birds and lilies. Now, when you read George Mueller's life and you see how God cared for that man and answered his prayer miraculously, and you see how did he live that way, he went to the Word of God and he perceived something. He said, God, you care enough about the birds, you care enough about the flowers, I'm trusting you to care for me. And God moved heaven and earth to answer prayer for that man. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. By the way, that word care there can carry the idea of worry, anything that troubles you. Casting all your care, your worries, your doubts, your anxieties, cast them upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Number one, perceive the Father's care. Number two, perceive the Father's knowledge. In verse number 32, notice the language here. It says, right in the middle, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. If you have need of something, are you listening? That need doesn't necessarily have to be physical. It can be spiritual. Do you think that rest and peace in your mind, is that a need in somebody's life? Sure it is. And the Word of God says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what the Word of God's teaching here? Whenever you have worry come across your mind, perceive that the Father's care. He cares about the birds and he cares about the flowers. He cares about you. But secondly, remember, he already knows you have need of these things. He knows. Now, what this does is this encourages us that he is well aware of the necessities of the life that he has given to us. And since he knows, he will take care of our needs. Now, if you're worrying about a want today, I want a boat. And I'm worried sick, I'll never get it, and you probably never will. And if you didn't, that doesn't mean God didn't provide it, it means you didn't need it. Amen. But I guarantee you one thing, if you need it, God already knows it. God knows your needs. And he's saying at a time when you're worrying, the Heavenly Father knows you have needs of these things. And he's the one who's responsible to provide your needs. Do you see that when we worry, folks, it is a slap in God's face? It's saying, I don't trust you. You really didn't mean what you said. Now, I know people struggle with this, but I'm trying to give you some things to help. After these thoughts, the lovely Lord Jesus tells us in verse number 34 to take one day at a time. Don't look ahead to tomorrow and add to today's necessities. Don't look back to yesterday and add to today's necessities. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. John Newton said this. He said, we can easily manage if we will only take each day the burden appointed to it, but the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burden over again today and then add the burden of tomorrow before we're required to bear it. Someone said, don't be afraid of tomorrow, for God's already there. In summary, under this first point, perceive. How he's saying how he cares for the birds and the flowers and he knows about your needs and take one day at a time. In summary, here's what he's saying. One of the cures for worry is to perceive that God cares about you. He knows your needs and live one day at a time, realizing that God will take care of you today. And if it comes tomorrow, then live that day and God will take care of you that day. But don't live tomorrow before it comes. Don't live in the past. Live today. God will give you victory in your mind. Romans 8:37, listen to this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's saying, he that gave us Jesus Christ, do you not think the God who gave Jesus Christ is also going to give you your other needs? Perceive, God is in control. He'll take care of you. Secondly, verses 19 to 24 and verse number 33. If you don't get anything else I say today, I want you to get this point right here. Not only perceive, but number two, prioritize. Prioritize. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body should be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You may give you a great thought on worry. When you're worried, you know what you need to do? Get busy for God. Prioritize. If someone's listening to me now and they are a worry wart, struggling with the stronghold of worry, the best counsel I can give you in these verses right here is this. Notice in verses 19 and 24, he tells us to lay up treasure in heaven. Don't serve God mammon. And in verse 33, he says, seek God's kingdom first, and then these things will be added unto you. In a nutshell, these verses are teaching teaching us that one of the cures for worry is to prioritize by getting busy for God and putting Him first. In other words, be more interested in the things of God and living a holy life for the glory of God. Have you ever heard this saying, don't worry, be happy? Have you ever heard that? A biblical portion would be this, don't worry, be holy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Hogwash. I got that word from Preacher Lassie, by the way. I use that all over the place. Hogwash. Doesn't sound too nice, does it? More appropriately, what he's saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He's saying this, don't worry. Be holy. Put God first. You know what you'll find when you're worrying about things? That when you put God first and you're out and about and you see other people, you see that you're not the only one. And you'll see there's somebody else out there that has it worse than you do. And what we need to do is understand. Now listen to this. It has been said that worry can be the beginning of serving mammon. Materials. Worry can be the seed of following another god. You say, what's that mean? That means this. If you're worried about that, are you serving that or are you serving God? What are you serving? By the way, if you're serving a what, you're missing it. You shouldn't be serving a what, you should be serving a who. And he's saying, what I want you to do when you worry is seek my kingdom first. People say, I must have food, I must have drink, I must have clothes, I've got to have shoes for my children. But the first thing that a person must decide is I must have a relationship with God. I've got to have faith in God. I need to live more godly. You've heard the story in Mark chapter 10, verses 38 and 42, through 42. Mary and Martha, Jesus is in the house. You can read this later. Martha's cumbered about much serving. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Remember, Martha comes in and says, Lord, tell her to get up and help me. Anybody remember what the Lord said? He said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about so many things. But one thing is needful. And your sister has chosen that one part. Does that mean we shouldn't be serving? No. But that means if you're serving without worshiping, you're missing it. We ought to be at the feet of Jesus Christ, on fire for God, living a godly life, a holy life, trying to do what God wants us to do, seeking His kingdom. And folks, when His kingdom becomes yours, I'm talking about in your mind, when you become saturated with His kingdom, this earthly stuff starts to fade away a little bit. And you'll see that as you seek His kingdom, He will meet your needs step by step by step by step by step. I can look back in my own life and say, where in the world did that come from? When I went to Crown College and I left East Tennessee State with the baseball scholarship and I began to go to Crown College paying my way through and so on. Of course, some of you dear folks helped. God bless you. Treasure in heaven for that. My school bill, I had no idea I was going to pay my school bill. I had no idea. All I knew is that God wanted me to be a preacher. And He wanted me to preach. And I surrendered to preach and I went. And God put me through school, not just physically, but spiritually. I came out on the other end and I was able, through all of this, to be able to pay some of my wife's school bill. Somebody says, Jody, how'd you do it? I didn't. God did. I can look back in my life and say, you know, there was a need in my life when I was a junior higher. Still remember coming into the house as a junior hire, my mom was in the bathroom. She's crying because they had put a heart monitor on me because I'd been having chest pains and all these other kind of things, and they put a heart monitor on me, and they were recording all this, and apparently the doctor had called and said that they thought they had found something, that they were talking about putting a pacemaker in me, and I think I was a seventh grader at this time, seventh or eighth. I look back on those times. I've had a heart catheterization, all these kind of things. And, of course, yes, they did find a heart and all these other kind of things. Everything's fine. I've got a little heart murmur and different things and so on. Low blood sugar, high blood pressure, you name it. I look back at those things, and I didn't really understand it as a junior hire. I'm sure I was a little worried. I was into athletics a lot. That was my life, really. And I wanted to play, but I'm sure there was a worry. I look back at those times now, and I think to myself, God was starting to work on me there. He was starting to show me that He had something else for me. You see, does that make any sense what I'm saying? And I look back at those times when I had great needs in my life, and God, every need I've had, He has met it. Every need. Does that make me special? No. But I'll tell you what it does. It just shows you that God keeps His promises, folks. He's going to care for you whether you believe it or not. So why waste time worrying about it? What are we saying? We're saying this. Number one, when you worry, perceive, consider, think about the Father's care, His knowledge. Take one day at a time. Number two, prioritize. Then over in the book of Philippians chapter 4, many of you probably knew I was going there, but Philippians chapter 4, by the way, these two verses are our memory verses for next week, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. It says, be careful for nothing. That simply means don't worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you worry, number one, perceive. Number two, prioritize. Number three, pray. Pray. Now, in these verses before us, we see this other thought brought out about this worry. The Word of God tells us not to be careful, but be prayerful. Somebody said care and prayer are opposing enemies. You know what I've noticed when I worry? I've had things this weekend to hit me that's tried to get me to worry. So you know what we've done? We've taken it to God in prayer. And you know what I've noticed by example in the last 24 hours? When you pray, the care diminishes. One of the greatest things I can tell you to do if you are a worry wart is every time you worry, go to God in prayer. I've noticed that when I talk to God, the big things start to get a little bit littler, smaller. And the more you talk to Him, the smaller it gets. And finally, it's still there, but you say, good night, God's good. I knew that all along. Lord, you already said that, didn't you? Learn to pray. He says right here, but by prayer, supplication, that is going to God with a sense of a need arising. And then he says with thanksgiving. You know one of the greatest things you can do when you worry? Say, God, I'm worried about this, but I'll tell you one thing, I thank you for it. If it's a need, not if it's a want. Thank you, God, for that boat. I'm trusting you for it. No. God, I need peace. I need peace. You know in my heart I need peace. I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that and I don't know what's going to happen here and I don't know what's going to happen there and I'm worried to death about this and God, you know that. But I'm coming to you and somehow, some way, by faith, I want to thank you that this is in my life because it's causing me now to talk to you about it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Test God. When you test Him, and you go to him in prayer and you prioritize and you say, wait a minute, let's stop worrying about that. Let's get involved in soul winning. Let's get involved in reading our Bible. Let's seek God's kingdom first. Let's think about God's care and think about his care for the birds and the all the flowers. And let's take one day at a time. And when it hits me, I know it's wrong. I start quoting scripture going back to last week on worry. And then I get on my face and I beg God to take it away from me. Business will pick up right there, and he will come in and he'll help you through it. Do you want victory over worry? You can have it, but you've got to earn it. You've got to work for it. And I'm challenging you this morning. Take the advice of the Word of God. Matthew 6:27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, worry is not only a sin, it is also a waste of God-given time. You can't change a thing by worrying about it. However, most spend some time worrying about something or someone. The greatest news is even though most succumb to this sin, there is help in time of need. And that is perceive, prioritize, and pray. It's time we do not sit back and allow the sin of worry to take over our hearts and take over our minds, but turn our eyes upward and put these Bible principles into practice and continue to use God's word as a sword, sticking the devil with verses that deal with worry. That goes back to last week. You need to hear the sermon from last week if you haven't heard it. In other words, you start perceiving. What do you perceive on God's care, God's promises, all these kind of things? Learn verses Psalm 37, 3 to 5. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Learn verses like Psalm 118 and verse number 6 that says things like this. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Learn verses like Psalm 41:10. By the way, I'm taking these verses straight from this sheet here that you got last week. These sheets are still available. Take them, use them. Learn verses like Isaiah 41:10 that says this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Learn verses like 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 that says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I'm closing my Bible, but I hope you don't. Look right up here just a minute. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt that there's many people dealing with worry. You may be worried about your marriage. You may be worried about finances. You may be worried about a health issue. You may be worried about something that's not even here. What if? Oh, what if? Oh, what if? If you need help with worry, what's the advice? Take the rhema of God. From last week, take the rhema of God. Stick the devil with it. Secondly, perceive. Prioritize. And get on your face and pray. And I guarantee if you do, it's a battle. It's an uphill battle. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's uphill. But you'll find yourself living in victory until finally you reach the pinnacle and there stands Jesus to welcome you home. Be not careful. Take no thought. Rather, perceive, prioritize, and pray. And I hope that you'll get help this morning through this message. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for this time together where we have exposed and even talked about the stronghold of worry. I pray that you'll help people to do business with you, Lord. Help me to do business with you in my own mind. Help me to guide this invitation in a way that you see fit. May you be pleased. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared here. I want to ask you this question first. Are you a born-again child of God? Do you understand that the only thing that is the help against the strongholds of Satan is the Lord God of heaven? And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know Him as your Savior, then there's no help for you. How many of you know without a doubt, please don't lie and all these kind of things. You can lie to me, but you cannot lie to an all-knowing God. How many say, Jody, I'm glad today that I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, I don't hope so, I know so, I am going to heaven. If you know that, would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt that there may be one, two, or many who could not raise your hand to that question. Would you be honest enough to say, Jody, when everybody else raised their hand to that question, I could not raise it. But I'll tell you this. I'd like to know for sure that heaven is my home. I'd like to know that Jesus is my Savior. I'd like to know that if I die today, that I'm going to heaven. I want to be saved. Is there anybody like that? We're not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out, not going to embarrass you, but you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand saying I know I'm saved, but I want to be able to raise my hand to that. Would you be honest right now? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody at all? God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. Put it right back down. Somebody else. Put your hand up. Put it right back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? If you raise your hand to that question, I want you to do me a favor. Would you look right up here at me, please, if you raise your hand to that? I just want you to know that I see you, okay? Nobody knows who I'm talking to, anybody around you or anything like that. I just want to maintain eye contact with you a minute and let you know something. I know the person sitting right beside you. You may not. In just a moment, we're going to extend an invitation, and I'm sure that many people will probably respond to this, needing help with worry. But your need today is not overcoming worry, it's making sure you're a child of God. You understand that, right? Here's what I want to invite you to do. You do not have to do this, but I want to invite you to do this because this will make it a little bit easier on you. The dear lady who's sitting right beside you. Now, again, you don't have to do this. There's no pressure here. But if you'd like for somebody to come with you in just a moment, I know her very well. She'd be happy to do it. And if that's you and you want to do that, I want you to poke her on the shoulder right now. Would you do that? You don't have to. But if you'd like her to come, you can poke her right now, and then she can look right up here at me. Completely up to you. If you get poked, I want you to look right here. The Lord's working. I want you to come with her, okay? And we're going to help you, all right? I hope you know that and you understand that. We care about you, love you today. We want to help you. In just a moment, when I extend the invitation, you come together. We'll help you along these lines, okay? Thank you for being honest. By the way, I had to be honest about that same thing many years ago. And I'm so glad that I've made this decision, and I trust that you'll do the same, okay? Now, you can lower your head and bow your eyes there. Lower your head and close your eyes. If you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. But I need this message. This is a stronghold that tries to get a hold of me. I worry and worry and worry and worry. And it may be worry about someone or something, but you say, Jody, I'm being very specific. I need this message. I need it. This is what I'm dealing with. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, this is what I'm dealing with. If that's you and you raised your hand, I want to encourage you to come to this altar. By the way, when you come, you're helping somebody who may be lost to come. And let's turn it over to the Lord. Take this sheet, use the rhema of God's word as a sword, and then start to perceive, prioritize, and pray. God will help you. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Help these to respond. Help the dear lady to come. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary is singing. If God is dealing with you right now, would you leave your place? Would you come? Come now, please.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moment. moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Keep on singing, Brother Gary. Sounds
singing
good.
Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
They're playing through softly. You can look this direction. God is working. The Lord is moving. We're dealing with somebody about their salvation. You don't mind to wait, do you? I hope not, because we're going to wait for it, you know. It's well worth it. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is Tiffany Housewright. Tiffany, if you want to stand there, precious little girl, standing with Miss Eden's here. Tiffany's coming today on bus number 7. Amen.
Amen.
And you're coming today and you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that correct?
Amen.
You got saved today. Wonderful. How old are you? 9. Are you married? Just keep it that way for a long time, okay? 9 years old, coming today to trust Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. No doubt about it. God bless you. We're glad you're here. Hope you'll keep coming, okay? And keep your Sunday school teacher in line and make sure they're behaving themselves, okay? Very good. God bless you. Reminds you about tonight. We're given time here, folks. I hope you understand. Reminds you about tonight. God willing, I'll be preaching on another stronghold. What is that stronghold? Got to come back tonight to see, okay? And I remind you that if you're here tonight and then you know, other times, not a promotional item, but the musical CD will be available for you tonight. Appreciate you being here. God bless you. Amen. What I'm going to do is this. We're going to pray, and we're going to be dismissed. And we're going to leave here as quietly as we can. Amen. We want to give these dear folks as much time as they need. May the Lord help them with it. Amen. Let's pray together quietly. If you can be dismissed, and I'll see you tonight. By the way, if you're interested in the Bus Family Soul Winning Meeting, Brother Ron Smith wants to meet with you tonight at 6:00. So if you're interested in the Bus Family Outreach tonight at 6:00 in the Berean classroom, that'll be great. Let's pray together. We'll quietly be dismissed. Our Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you for being here today. Amen.